You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
I'm Stan Bernard, and I'm sitting in for Leonard Lopate here on WNYC AM and FM. Now, up to half of those living with HIV/AIDS develop tuberculosis. And on today's Underreported, we'll explore TB's impact on the HIV/AIDS epidemic. We'll ask how AIDS is fueling a TB resurgence, and we'll talk to lawyer and longtime HIV/AIDS and TB activist Ezio T. Santos Filho. Now, he's been living with HIV since the early 1980s. He has twice survived TB. And Rachel Guglielmo, the director of Public Health Watch for the Open Society Institute. They join us as well, and they join us from Toronto. They're on the phone with Toronto from Toronto, where they are attending the International AIDS Conference. It's being attended by thousands. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Ezio, first of all, you learned you had HIV back in the 80s. Let's do a little history. How much was known about the disease at the time?
Actually, not much. The great problem about TB is that we actually missed the point. I mean, we forgot to address this issue of the importance of treating TB and having an eye, keep an eye on TB along the 90s, along the 80s and 90s. Actually, TB is the cause number one of death for people living with AIDS.
Did you have TB at the very beginning of the HIV or of your discovery of HIV?
Actually, not. There was a very unfortunate coincidence because a friend of mine who was running the state TB program in Rio de Janeiro, she invited me to do social mobilization in Rio around TB because she missed a lot of participation of the civil society and social awareness raising. And then, by coincidence, I started doing some work with her to make social mobilization, and I got TB by the end of 2002. And it took me quite a while to be diagnosed because those people who live with AIDS don't develop all the symptoms. For example, they cough less and they almost have no sputum. So it's harder to diagnose TB among people with AIDS, and therefore that's why many people die without diagnosis.
Well, this was kind of a secret then. It was the fact that TB was connected.
Exactly, because around along the 80s and early 90s, TB was resurgent, and it was not expected because. Since late 70s and late early 80s, especially in Brazil, when we introduced the short course therapy, rifampicin, the number of TB cases decreased, and the people had could be cured in a 6 months time in a short course therapy, but on the other hand, the AIDS epidemic was happening, and that brought TB back to the stage.
I think that isn't it correct to say that pneumonia was considered the big threat, not TB
exactly,
at the time?
Exactly. And it's funny because my case is also a very good example of that. I had always done prophylaxis for pneumonia, and therefore I have never had pneumocystosis, which is the common pneumonia that people with AIDS have due to low CD4 count or low resistance, and therefore I never had pneumonia, but I got TB.
Rachel, tuberculosis seems like an old-fashioned disease. Now, as we recall it from everything that we read in the movies of the time, when people were doing history, it would all seem to point back to the 19th century and perhaps the early part of the 20th century. People went to special asylums. It wasn't seen as so much of a threat today at the current time. Wasn't it thought at least that TB could be eliminated?
I think that's the popular misconception. Because TB has been largely eliminated in developing countries, most people think that is indeed the case. They think that just because it's not prevalent anymore in the United States and because they very rarely hear about it, it's also been eliminated in the rest of the world. But the fact is that prevalence rates have remained high in the developing world throughout the 20th century and into the 21st century, and, of course, particularly with the AIDS epidemic. So, but what's surprising is that even in those countries where TB prevalence is extremely high, people there also believe that TB is a disease of the past, that TB has been eradicated. So even in countries like Tanzania, where we've been working, where over 50% of the HIV cases, of the tuberculosis cases, are also co-infected with HIV, the society as a whole, political leaders, even high-risk groups like people living with HIV, do not know that TB is a current threat.
I'm speaking with HIV/AIDS activist and TB activist Ezio T. Santos Filho and Rachel Guglielmo. I'm Stan Bernard. I'm sitting in for Leonard Lopate here on WNYC and WNYC.org. Director, by the way, Rachel Guglielmo, you're the director of the Public Health Watch for the Open Society Institute. And how broad is this problem? Is this something that spreads across the world, or is it hit some specific places?
Well, it's certainly a problem in much of the developing world. It's particularly severe in sub-Saharan Africa, where the AIDS epidemic is also very severe. But it's an issue of concern throughout the world, including in developed countries.
Now, are we talking about a new strain of TB, or are we talking about just the old, what could, for lack of a better word, old-fashioned TB?
Yeah, actually, there are one not exactly a new strain, what we called multi-drug resistant TB, which is a very serious problem in Eastern Europe, Central Asia, and due to a lack of adherence and short treatment or no treatment, people the problem of TB is that the good aspect of TB treatment actually leads to a problem. What I mean is that in 6 months' time you can be cured, but the treatment is actually so good that when you start getting taking the treatment, you are able to go back to work and have a normal life. So people abandon the treatment as well as they feel better. So that leads to MDR-TB, which is multi-drug resistance, and which affects huge portions of the TB-affected population in Eastern Europe and other parts of the planet. It's a growing problem.
Ezio, you seem to be saying that it only can be dealt with after you get it. Is it preventable at all?
It is. It is. I mean, TB is preventable. There is many studies on isoniazid preventive therapy, which is shown that this isoniazid, which is very it's a antituberculinic medication, which is very cheap and easy to produce. It is very effective with people with AIDS. I mean, the prevention can be done, actually. It is so cost-effective. And that's the aspect that I would like to highlight. Treating TB and dealing with TB is extremely cost-effective. Why? Because the treatment is short. You can get cured about that, about the treatment, and that would reduce enormously the mortality and the morbidity among people with AIDS. But on the other hand, I mean, people tend not to address that well. I mean, that's why we are fighting to have more HIV and AIDS and TB services integrated.
Ezio, you're from Brazil. You mentioned Rio before.
Yes.
Why is Brazil the only high-burden country in Latin America having for TB?
Yeah, the population, I mean, the magnitude of the country. I mean, Brazil is a country where 85% of the population live in urban areas. I mean, Brazilian population is concentrated in big cities. Where I come from, Rio, is historically, I mean, it was the capital of the country until Brasilia was built in 1960, and it has always been the main port of in Brazil. So the diseases used to enter there, and Rio geographically leads to a huge concentration of urban concentration. So there are historical and geographical reasons why population in in Rio get more have higher concentrations of TB. But the thing is that we on the other hand we have institutions in the city which can better provide health surveillance, and therefore more cases are diagnosed in Rio than other parts of the country. But Rio has the highest burden, and the fact that Brazil is so the figures in Brazil are so high is exactly because of this characteristic of the Brazilian population.
But it doesn't hit other places. Such as, cities like Chile, and I'm thinking of Buenos Aires, which is really a very European kind of city.
Exactly. There are, and I would like to highlight something that you were talking to Rachel before. I mean, in the developed world, I mean, we saw that a few presentations last year at a World TB Conference in Paris last year, that there are parts of London, in the United Kingdom, and in Paris, France, there are some districts which have a prevalence and incidence case as big as in the developing world in some districts. So TB is not banished from the developed world. In Paris, in London, there are concentrations. I mean, it should be highlighted that on the late 80s and early 90s, there was a big outbreak of TB in New York City. It was a major problem late 80s, early 90s. People tend to forget that. That happened in New York. And Paula Fujiwara, who is now working at the International Union Against TB, she used to run the TB department in New York, and she did a great job. And that was because of the spread of AIDS. I mean, so AIDS walks arm in arm with TB. I mean, so, and it's a terrible combination.
We're going to get back to you in just a moment. Rachel, I have a question for you, but let's just take a break for a moment. Later on in the show, we'll learn about the physics behind martial arts. And we'll learn about men who enter the seminary late in life. Plus, we'll look back at the role the New York Times reporter Herbert L. Matthews played in helping Fidel Castro come to power. I'm Stanley Bernard, in today for Leonard Lopate. This is WNYC 93.9 and AM 820. And WNYC.org, the place for news and talk all day. Classical music all night. I'm Stanley Bernard, and I'm sitting in for Leonard Lopate here today. And we are talking about AIDS, and we're talking about HIV and its connection with TB, a new crisis. Rachel, we are talking with Rachel Guglielmo, the Director of Public Health Watch for the Open Society Institute, and Ezio T. Santos Filho. And they happen to be in Toronto and for the International AIDS Conference. And it's drawn thousands of people from around the world up there. And Rachel, you have a global view of this. And I'd like to know just how many people are suffering with AIDS today, and how many of them are suffering with TB, to add to the complication.
Well, 2 million people a year are dying of tuberculosis at this point, and 8 million people, approximately 8 million people, are becoming infected each year.
Why has this gone so unnoticed, relatively unnoticed?
Well, one of the big reasons is that TB is no longer at very high prevalence in the developed world, so it doesn't get a lot of attention there. But another big reason is that TB affects the poorest populations in each country the most.
Are governments aware of the problem? And if they are aware of it, why aren't they not stepping in? And certainly, people have been dealing with the AIDS problem in Africa, in sub-Saharan Africa, for some time, and everybody's been working on getting a better distribution of drugs there and at a decent price. What's going on? Why not the continuation onto this TB problem?
It is puzzling to us. It's an issue that we've been working on with our project and that we've been working on with Ezio and the other activists that we work with. But again, one of the reasons appears to be that AIDS affected populations that were well-positioned to advocate for themselves and to demand more attention to the issue and to demand more dollars be devoted to research. It affected those populations first, and that's had an impact on the course of the disease is taken and the level of attention it's received. TB is affecting the very poorest people on the planet the most, and these are people who don't often have a platform to share their experiences, to demand change, to demand better services.
Now, is there a some kind of a special stigma attached to TB?
Yeah, sure. There is stigma. Being a disease related to poverty, it's very very strange for people living in higher classes. I mean, to admit that they have TB, it seems a little shameful, and also in the developing world. I mean, people with TB is very stigmatized. I mean, in some cultures, as we saw from the research in Bangladesh, I mean, people's son with TB is treated as somebody who doesn't have good standards of hygiene.
But there was a stigma attached to HIV/AIDS as well.
Yeah.
And so this is an additional stigma?
Exactly. I mean, actually, this historical idea that we have from TB in the 19th century, the romantic disease, and the something that took people to hospices, sanatoria in along the early 20th century until the second half of the 20th century, it is something that people tend to look at this incurable disease, which is romantic, which takes a long time. But actually, it is a curable disease for already a few decades, and the fact that people don't care much about it is exactly because the treatment is actually it's strange. It's really puzzling to talk about this because the treatment is actually cheap. I mean, it's a low cost and it's very efficient, but demands a complete treatment. And
how difficult it is to get the treatment after you've gotten over the stigma and after you're seeking the treatment, how difficult it is for that treatment to really be delivered to you.
Well, I mean, for people in my country is no problem. I mean, in my country, TB treatment as well as AIDS treatment is provided free of charge in the public health system. So access to medication is not a problem. Brazil is actually very privileged in this aspect because even for the multi-drug resistance cases, which treatment is actually expensive, the treatment is delivered for each patient. I mean, and there is a follow-up done to vary each case, but on the majority of the countries around the globe, a treatment has to be paid. I mean, people have to pay for the treatment, so there isn't a problem of access. And even in those countries where the treatment is available, the tendency, the lack of information about it, leads people to abandon treatment very early.
Information is one thing, but you're at this conference in Toronto. How much attention is being paid there?
Not much to the
TB issue.
Not much. We were doing all efforts possible to include this issue, and we have been repeating. You know, I mean, TB and HIV activists have been repeating this issue as much as we can. But still, people tend to think as TB as a lesser problem, as a smaller problem, because people think they have to focus on what is more. I'm not disagreeing that they shouldn't focus on HIV and AIDS treatment, but I think that as I said before, treating TB is extremely cost-effective, and it's low cost. I mean, it's just short-term, and you can get cured. That would decrease enormously the cases of death and the cases of morbidity of people getting sick, because that's the number one cause of death and morbidity and mortality among people with AIDS.
Ezio, tell me about your symptoms. Just how did you realize what was happening to you, and Did you have access to good doctors? And
well,
you're privileged. You're an attorney, aren't you?
Exactly. I belong those people. The AIDS epidemic in Brazil is very similar to the U.S. AIDS epidemic. We have the same profile. It developed exactly the same way. I mean, the first group affected in Brazil was gay white men, middle class white men. That was like this in the U.S. That was the same in Brazil, and I have access to private physicians, and I have access to good care. And even though look, I work with HIV and AIDS for many years, and I started working with TB, so I actually know the physicians and the researchers and health managers who deal with both diseases. And even though to get diagnosed took me really a while, because the people don't have the same symptoms. A person who doesn't have AIDS, when they have, it's very easy to diagnose, because I mean, people will be coughing and he will lose weight and get extremely tired and will have fever at night. But people with AIDS tend not to will lose weight and will be have fever and very tired. But he or she won't cough much and won't have enough sputum to look like TB, and therefore that's so hard to diagnose.
I'm sorry. Yeah. Go ahead.
This is one of the issues that's really worth highlighting. The diagnostic tests that are currently available for diagnosing TB were discovered in the late 19th century. There's just been very little research into the production of new diagnostics, very little reaction to the fact that diagnosis is as difficult as it is among people living with AIDS.
I'm Stanley Bernard, and I'm here for Leonard Lopate. We've been speaking about TB and HIV/AIDS. And we're talking with lawyer activist Ezio T. Santos Filho and Rachel Guglielmo, the director of Public Health Watch for the Open Society Institute. They are talking to us by phone, and they are in Toronto for the International AIDS Crisis. Now, you have, I think there are thousands, I heard thousands of delegates to this conference and participants at the meetings, and still you are having trouble getting people's attention on this, correct?
Yeah.
And you can, are you, how much difficulty is it to turn this around?
I mean, the thing is that people still tend to think that if they focus on something else, they will miss the point with HIV and AIDS, which is just not true. I mean, the services should be more integrated. It's absurd that, and I'm not talking only on the developing world. It's the same in developed countries. I mean, if TB and HIV services are not necessarily connected, so somebody who is going for treatment on HIV will have to access the services for TB in another place with other physicians or in another. It's difficult, and somebody having this disease is normally weak and with less conditions, and he or she won't be willing to go through these difficulties.
And I'm assuming that the TB is harder to cure in its advanced stages. And is it more contagious if not caught in its early stages?
Yeah, the thing of being more contagious. I mean, it is contagious in the same way. The TB, I mean, the bacillum of tuberculosis, you get in the air. Why somebody is speaking? He doesn't even need to cough. I mean, somebody with TB, when he is or she is speaking, I mean, in the saliva in the air, I mean, carries the bacillum of tuberculosis the same way the flu virus is in the air. You can get it in the elevator, in the bus, in the subway, in the airplanes, anywhere. I mean, it's a social. I mean, you get socially infected. I mean, in the air.
Has the U.S. government taken a position on this TB AIDS problem, and has President Bush spoken on this issue?
We've seen some level of increased attention to the issue. There has been an increase in the amount and the percentage, for example, of funding from the President's Emergency Plan for AIDS Relief, PEPFAR. So there is increasing awareness of and attention to the issue, but the fact is that less than 3% of PEPFAR funding is currently devoted to TB. So we see a real need for an increase there. Again, given the prevalence of TB, given the fact that TB is the leading cause of death for people living with AIDS.
Now, are there adequate drugs to combat TB in patients with HIV?
No, actually, I think the drugs which are available. I mean, you have to as in AIDS, for TB you have to treat always in a cocktail or a combination of few drugs. And if you are taking HIV treatment, AIDS treatment, you cannot take all the TB drugs, because interaction leads to very high toxicity, means that people really can get sick and can have liver problems.
Anybody working on a new drug?
Yeah, I mean, there are very few drugs on the pipeline. There are very few drugs being developed. But there are institutions which are like the Global Alliance for TB Drug Development and other institutions which are investing in to bring more drugs for trials and to bring more develop new drugs. But as Rachel was saying, the majority of the drugs we use on TB, they were developed in the middle of the 20th century, and the most efficient and the last one to be developed was rifampicin in the mid 70s. I mean, that's how slow the attention on TB and the research on TB is done.
You know, Nelson Mandela said, and I'm quoting him now: "We cannot win the battle against AIDS if we don't also fight TB." He said TB is often a death sentence for people with AIDS. Now, it does not have to be this way, he said. I'm assuming you both agree.
Absolutely.
But with somebody like Mandela making that kind of a comment, one would assume that a spotlight would be cast on the subject. And yet, we are talking about this today on our underreported segment, which says something about the fact that it's being largely ignored. Are you optimistic at all that this might get more attention somewhere along the line, or does the situation have to get far worse?
I think I am always optimistic, but on the other hand, I believe that it can only change with a strong civil society mobilization and participation. People have to be aware that this problem is there. The problem of TB is not gone. I mean, we haven't defeated TB. I mean, TB is still there everywhere in the planet. I mean, nobody can say a country is free from TB. We were very glad that President Mandela issued this TB in this speech, and he is really one of the leaders we can count with. Look at my country. I mean, Brazil has issued policies along the 90s that it has not implemented, and it started to implement like 2 years ago. I mean, I just wrote a report on the Brazilian response against TB, and which I show that Brazil really got committed like a couple of years ago to really defeat TB and to address the issue correctly. But it's something that requires a social scrutiny. I mean, social monitoring. And therefore, the society has to be aware. We have to invest in this to keep the situation under control.
There's a dynamic. There's a dynamic here that's really a problem. As we all remember, HIV/AIDS really required for it to move into the center of public attention. It required somebody like Rock Hudson to develop AIDS and die of it, and suddenly it moved forward, and suddenly there was a celebrity move in the direction of combating the disease and dealing with the problem of AIDS. Mm-hmm. And here we are dealing with TB, and TB largely is focused on the very poor and the obscure.
Exactly.
And it seems is being ignored.
Uh-huh. Do you know another day, a couple of months ago, I was in the clinic for my thoracic physician, and somebody else was waiting to see her as well, and he is is a director, a big director, a big shot in global network in Brazil, which is a huge TV and newspaper. I mean, and people feel ashamed of having this disease, and it because it can affect anyone. I mean, I remember a couple of years ago I saw a program by BBC where they show that people getting infected are having respiratory diseases, including TB, in the airplanes between New York and London, in British Airways and other flights. I mean, there was a British program and talking about things that you can get sitting in an airplane or in a car. It's something that anyone can have. And so it's silly to think that if your social status would protect you. I mean, it's just not true. It's very much like the AIDS epidemic. I mean, your social status won't help you.
The possibility of dealing with a fatal illness is something, and you're having trouble gathering attention, even at a conference on AIDS up in Toronto. And there's been some controversy about the celebrity speakers, like President Clinton, taking up too much space. What do you think about the focus or the diffusion of the focus onto celebrities at your conference?
I think there is not much real focus on that. I mean, to count with President Clinton's help and support, it's extremely important. I mean, I've met him in 2002 at the Barcelona conference, and he is leading a presidential former chief of state and chiefs of government to be leading issues on HIV and AIDS, and we would love him to talk more about TB. But I think people have to understand that this is a major issue. The people have to understand that it is cost effective to treat this, and that will be good for everybody, and it won't take out the focus on TB and HIV. I think as more people understand that if nobody should be shameful of having a disease that we got on the air, being socializing, and it's something that we just cannot prevent. I would like to remind that one out of three persons living on the planet Earth carries the TB mycobacteria. So it's something that most of us have it. So it's something that we cannot avoid because we have to breathe and we have to socialize. And so nobody's free of it.
I've been speaking about TB and HIV/AIDS with lawyer and activist Ezio T. Santos Filho and Rachel Guglielmo, the director of Public Health Watch for the Open Society Institute. Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you.
It was an honor. Thank you.